Praise the Lord. Good morning. So as I was praying about service this morning, the word tomorrow came into my thought, tomorrow. Because I've been praying this week for things to happen today, on this Sunday. Not just, you know, in general saying, Lord, do something, you know, in the future, but do it today. And he reminded me of the story from the book of Exodus. And there had been many plagues that had been coming previous on Egypt. And this plague that was brought, I think it was like the fourth plague. It was the plague of frogs. And it says that Pharaoh's magicians were able to do similar stuff. But these frogs went everywhere and they were in everything and it was a mess. So what ended up happening is that Pharaoh called for Moses. And he said, listen, I want you to pray to the God that you serve for these frogs to go away. And Moses said, you know what? I'll be happy to do that. When do you want me to ask the Lord to take the frogs away? And he said, tomorrow. And you read that. Why not right then? Why not now? Why tomorrow? Why next Sunday? Why 2 weeks from now? Why next year for our lives? Why not today? Why not right now, right? So, Lord, we just ask you right now to do something significant, Lord, in our midst. God, we don't want tomorrow's future that you have for us, Lord. We want today's future that you have for us. We want today's inheritance that you have for this service, for this time. So, Lord, we ask. We ask, Lord, you said in your word that we have not because we ask not. Lord, we're asking right now for you to come into this place, Lord, and do a work in our lives, Lord. Let us, Lord, line up fully with your eternal reality in our lives, Lord, of who you have created us to be and who we are in you, Lord. And Lord, how much you love us, God. Lord, how much you sacrifice for us. Lord, we ask right now that now you would do a work, Lord, in this place. Right now, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I don't want to find for tomorrow, and I can have them today. I'll wait for tomorrow, and I can have you today. I'll wait for tomorrow.
At this moment, I hadn't spoken with Caden at all about what song he was going to do today. I mean, he had a song list, but he came up after prayer and he changed it. And that line in there, it's kind of a semi-bridge. It's not really even on our list, but why wait for tomorrow when you can have it today? The Holy Spirit doesn't want us to wait for tomorrow. That's what he's telling us here today. There's no better time. There's no better time than right now to draw near to God. There's no better time. It's not going to be another day. Today may be the only day that we have to draw close to him. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know what is in store for us tomorrow, but right now, today, there's no better time. So I encourage you to press in to what the Lord wants to do here. Press in to him right now in Jesus' name. There was a crowd all around him when he was heading to Jairus' house. There were so many that were just clamoring on him, that when he told his disciples, "Wow, someone touched me," they go, "What do you mean someone touched you? You're being mauled right now." He said, no, someone pressed in. Someone pressed in and touched me. I'm telling you, virtue left me. Someone connected with me supernaturally by faith. And they're not the same anymore. Nope, they're not the same anymore. They just got changed. Who was it? Who touched me? Let's not be the crowd today. Let's touch him. He wants us to not let this moment pass. Thank you, Lord.
I want more of you, God. I want more.
take me a little deeper. I wanna know your heart. I wanna know your heart. 'Cause your love is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I wanna know your heart. I wanna know your heart. Pull me a little closer.
Heartbeat. This love is so sweet.
It's more than I can stand. I'm melting your peace. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. It overwhelms me. Your peace, your presence overwhelms me.
My husband was speaking about Jairus. Did I say that right, babe? Jairus? I always get this picture in my mind of the woman with the issue of blood. And I just kind of want to set the stage for you guys. This woman, it says that she reached out and touched the hem of his garment. Now, you know, a normal man is around 5'10 and wearing a long robe. And he's walking on a road with sandals where animals have walked. And animals don't care if you care that they are going to do their thing with going potty. But that's what happened on the roads. And they shared it with people with sandals. And she's reaching out. This robe has scraped on this dirt and this nastiness. But she knew she just needed to touch him. Now, she couldn't reach down and grab his robe because that would be a little bit weird. But she wasn't even supposed to be there to begin with. She was supposed to be outside the city gates. She was considered unclean because she had had an issue of blood for 12 years. Everybody knew her. Everybody knew what she looked like. But at this point, let me just say this clearly. At this point, she did not care. She did not care that she had to go against custom. All she cared about is the man that she knew that could touch her and heal her was a man that is being, crowds are all around him. And the only way to get through was to crawl on her hands and knees. Sometimes army crawling, I'm sure. But now she's down in that muck and mire. But she doesn't care. She just needs to touch his garment at the bottom. His hem, it says. The hem of his garment. Now, can I introduce you to this lovely carpeted place that the Lord's given us? He's not requiring us to get on our hands and knees and go through that stuff. He's laid it out beautifully where the door's wide open and it's warm, and it's people that we love. But Jesus is asking you, will you come to me? Not tomorrow, today. Now, I'm going to ask a question in the midst of this. How many of y'all, just raise your hand, it doesn't have to be, you know, a show, but how many of you all utilized the prayer that we had every Saturday night for the fast. Just raise your hand if you attended any of the prayers. Okay, we have a few, quite a few. Good. Jesus made it easy for us. Beautiful homes that were offering us snacks and treats and beautiful people that we love and know. He says, here's an opportunity. Will you take that? It wasn't 100% that raised their hands in this room. Oh, wait, here's a Sunday morning and it's beautiful and Caden is worshiping like no other. And we are invited to enter into that. He's made it easy for us. But what will we do to touch the hem of his garment? What's that look like for you? Will you do that for Jesus today? Will you do it today? Not tomorrow when nobody's looking. Not tonight, maybe even when nobody's looking. What will you do today to reach out and get a portion of his virtue? Do you need something today? Do you need healing? Can you stand in the gap for somebody that needs healing? Do you need a closer walk? And that might look like Jesus is pouring into your spirit. Get out of your seat. Get out of your row. Step out. Come to me. I will meet you. When Jairus came to Jesus, he was a top authority, and he had to go through all those people to get to Jesus. He did not care. He knew, even though his daughter had died, he knew that if Jesus came, he could heal her. He could raise her. He could do something nobody else could. Do you need that today? Do you need that for yourself today? Will you come? The power of the Holy Spirit is so evident right here in this area. Will you love on Jesus? Will you love on him? Will you say, Jesus, I want some of you. Jesus, I need some of you.
Yeah, so last night during prayer, you know, God was moving. And we had a attendee confess a struggle. And I'm pointing her out, Gloria. She was ashamed, maybe, at first. And then got courage that she didn't follow God's order. She was hesitant, fear. So she got a new, fresh of feet last night. What do our feet do? They help us walk in the direction that we need to go, right? And we can stop if we don't feel like going. That's if we don't feel like going. But you know what else I realized last night? That not just our feet move in the direction or stop. Something else in our body, our brain, right? Our mind tells us, oh yeah, I gotta tell you something. No, never mind. That's okay. Right? But Gloria found it bold enough or in shame to let us know the issue, because she was already pointed out. Pastor Gay had already noticed that somebody was going to need a new pair of feet. So Gloria, will you please join us up here? Yes, thank you, Lord. And you too, come on. The convictions were strong because her husband confessed with tears in his eyes too that he felt convicted. He felt guilty that Gloria wasn't bold enough to do what she had to do. But that all changed. And you know what? That's a lot of us. I'm not going to go to prayer night because of whatever reason, or I don't feel like I need anything. It's our mind. It's our body. Let God do what he has to do in your life. And that life of yours and your family, your loved ones will change. I promise you that. Same thing when we're called to the altar. I don't need healing, but you know what? Somebody in our life does, a coworker, a family member, a neighbor. So from this point on, I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to be that person for that person.
This is open, you guys, if you want to come forward. Can we just do that a couple more times, Caden?
Better time.
Started. We're going to go ahead and just go right into the Word. If you need to use the facilities or anything like that, feel free, but you can be seated. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We'll have some announcements at the end, but we don't need them right now. Believe the Lord. Through his grace. How many know that the Lord is full of grace? He is full of grace. You know, even when we think we have things figured out, we really don't. He is always working. He's doing above and beyond all we could ask or think. And he's at work in every single person's heart here right now. Amen. And he's trying to get us to come to a place where we realize that he's at work, that he's at work in our lives all the time. I know for me, sometimes I get to the place where I kind of forget, you know, how much he's at work in my life. Even though I focus on that, even though I preach about that, and even though I share about that, I can just start going through my day or going through my year, going through life, and miss out on, I need to get rid of this keyboard, miss out on the whole work that God wants to do in my life and is doing in my life. And I'm saying all that to say this, that I believe that during the 21 days of prayer and fasting, and whether you participated in or not really doesn't matter, because there were many here that were praying for everyone here. Whether you were involved in the fast or not, our hearts were believing for you and standing in the gap for you as a body of believers. And we had three really amazing nights. They were all different. Not every single Saturday night prayer was the same. And I think that's the way it should be. I think they need to have the fluidity of the Holy Spirit, just like every service does, you know. We could have kept, you know, praying today, but I really felt like this message is necessary for all of us to get, including myself. And I believe that the Lord gives little signs, and maybe to help direct us, and maybe sometimes to convince us that what we're thinking really is true. And, you know, I was thinking to myself, I don't know if that scripture about, you know, tomorrow, you know, about the frogs and stuff. I mean, it's a little different opening, but it had the point of the now. And then, when he started playing, there's no better time, help me find my own flame. I forgot that line in there. Why wait for tomorrow when I can have it today? And so Caden, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, felt to lead with that song. And so it's like the Lord saying, yes, you're on the right track. Let me help you. Let me make sure that you don't get into, you know, because we can get into ruts of just going with the same patterns that we're always used to. You know, sometimes we think, okay, I'm going to get up and read my word this morning because that's what I always do. I'm going to get up and pray this morning. That's what I always do. Or, you know, I'm going to, you know, pray on my way to work. But the Lord may have something else in mind. He may not just want us to go through that same motion, because he needs to be able to have us ready for what he wants to do. And so I'm going to start off by letting you know that I really believe that this is our verse for this year as a church, that the Lord's giving us. And he started back in November kind of giving me some of the ideas, but I think he really wants us to understand that he wants us to be a house of prayer. And that does not mean that this building is just a house of prayer, even though when we're here, we can pray. But he really wants us to understand that we are the temple. We are the house of prayer. We are the house of prayer. And every time we gather before the Lord, us individually, and come before his throne of grace, we're a house of prayer. And for all nations, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're praying for, you know, for Africa, or we're praying, but it means for the world. It means for all of the needs of the world. It means for every single person that needs the touch of God in their life. It means for Veronica. It means for my sister. It means for your loved ones. It means for maybe coworkers. But I really believe that the Lord wants us to understand and get the idea that we need to be a house of prayer. Now, I'm going to start off by confessing, and because this is really in my heart, and Gay actually sent me a deal last night about how do you become a church of prayer, you know, and I don't think it said necessarily house of prayer, although it did use the Matthew verse. This is quoted by Jesus in Matthew. He throws out the tax, you know, the people that are collecting the taxes and collecting money for giving offerings and exchanging for bartering, so that they can, you know, they can offer gifts to the Lord, and who knows what all was going on, but it had become a den of thieves, he called it. So that tells me that whatever was going on there wasn't even just for worship for God. It was people padding their own pockets, you know, probably having unjust scales. Who knows what was going on? And he had been like burning, says, with fire, passion. And he goes and he makes a whip, and he goes and he hits people and things. And I mean, he's literally busting down the place. It says that the passion or the zeal for the Lord consumed him. He was consumed. I believe he was angry, but he was sinning not, because this was God's zeal in him. Reminds me of Herman. He says that he has kind of a passionate, almost an angry side. We sometimes joke and call him the Herminator, you know. And I believe God can focus that and channel that. You know, sometimes our anger comes out and it's our flesh. But Jesus was so passionate about this house and how it had become desecrated because of people's behavior, because of people's lack of understanding of what it was they were and who they were. And he cleaned it out. I believe that, you know, they probably left. They were probably going to come back when they could. But right at that moment, he was showing them
the desire of God, I believe, for our lives. Because the temple, after 40 years of Jesus doing that, didn't exist. You guys know that? That place that he cleaned out did not exist. Why? Because God changed locations. He changed locations from being, constrained inside of a holy of holies, where only a priest could go once a year. And when Jesus says, "It is finished," on the cross, that temple veil tore in two and mercy came running. And so now we are that house. We are the kingdom of God for this world. And so we are the house of prayer. We are the house of prayer for all nations, every single one of us. And not when we just gather, on Saturday night, or we gather on Sunday morning. You're the house of prayer when you're sitting in your home and you see something on the news that you feel a burden for. You can pray at that moment. If you hear something that someone did somewhere and there's a victim, or there's a flood, you can become a house of prayer at that moment for that situation. You are an ambassador, not only to the world through your communication as a disciple and bringing the good news of Christ, but you're also an ambassador of the world and to stand in the gap. You can make intercession, just like Jesus is making intercession for you at all times. So I want us to understand that the Lord wants us to become a house of prayer. A house of prayer. And maybe this is kind of, I don't know, going back to where really we kind of originally started as One Life. When we were Church on the Move and we had become, Church on the Move, it was just a few months after that I really felt the Lord call us to homes to pray. And we prayed on Saturday nights and we went from home to home. People signed up and we had a lot of congregation members. So we were always at a house on Saturday night. And sometimes we had as many as 50 people. Sometimes we had as many as five. But it did something to us on that night, as it did today. Again, it happened. It's happened now every single night, the day after. It's like God has honored that time that we've taken just to go. And it's not that we're praying for this service the whole time. Sometimes we're praying for needs, like Gloria, she had a deep need. I think I'm looking here, so okay, something going on. I have it so that somebody can text me, and I'm just making sure that it's not somebody adding something. But we had a deep need last night, and Gloria and I believe others were touched. Don, you were touched. I don't believe you're going to be the same. Because we gathered in his name and he met us there. And we were like those ones drawing from God when they were seeing him on the road and people were saying, "Lord, help me." It's hard to do that on a Sunday morning. Now, this isn't just an advertisement for home prayers, but I really want us to see if we can do this little group here something that really wouldn't make sense, where we make Saturday nights a place of prayer. It could be in your own home. It could literally be in your own home. You could just take 20 minutes, or you could grab, get around as a family and just say, "Lord, we're coming to you. We're dedicating this moment to you, and we're asking you, Lord, to come and visit us as a home." And whether it's for, blessing today's service or tomorrow's service, remember, it's not about tomorrow, it's about today. What does God have for us today? Let's not wait for tomorrow. Even though tomorrow came, praise God, and we're here, and his presence is with us, his anointing is here. He's ready to touch every single heart and every life here, including myself. And he is touching me. But I really want to see this. And this is like, I was telling Gay, it's like a burden that I have, And not necessarily that we meet in homes for prayer and say, "Oh, that's what we do as a church. We meet in homes." It's like our MO. No, I want it to be like a catalyst. I want to be something that initiates a deeper, deeper, deeper prayer life for all of us. Because Lord knows, Lord Jesus Christ knows. The Heavenly Father knows. The Holy Spirit knows. Our nation needs prayer. Our nation needs prayer. Our nation needs people who can stand before God in the confidence that we have. And it says confidence. We boldly, confidently come before the throne of grace and find mercy and help in time of need. And get this. We don't come there because our lives are completely all figured out. And we're 100% always clean before God. Now, if you come there and the Lord puts something on your heart that you need to repent for, repent. But we can come because of what Jesus made the way. His flesh was torn. That veil was torn so that we could come before God. We have access. You have access before the throne room of God. You have access in the presence of God. You, not just Pastor Mike, not just, you know, someone in here because, you know, they've got all their spiritual ducks in a row. Sometimes that can be a hindrance because you start thinking you've got it figured out. You start thinking you need to give everybody else the answers when the Lord wants to give you new stuff for your life to move to greater areas, you know, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. So this is on my heart. So I want you over the next few weeks, you could do it on Saturday night, you could do it during your week or just when you come on Sundays. Let's start really asking the Lord, how do we apply this for this house of prayer that you want us to be? To me, I had a list all ready to go. I did. It was going to start next Saturday night, and I had it to fill out all the month every Saturday through the 28th. And Gabe reminded me in 2 weeks is going to be Valentine's Day, you know, and that may not be the best one. So I said, oh, okay, I'll take that off. And so I was starting to do it, and she says, so how are people going to really know what you think? And, you know, and I could be like a bull in a china closet. You guys know that. I mean, it's like, you know, I can just like grab hold of something and take it and, you know, and run with it. But she brought some wisdom. And so I believe that's what the Lord is helping us do here today is you to hear my heart. And it's not just my heart. God revealed it. It's his heart. He said, let's mix this service up. You even need it, Pastor Mike. You even need to know that I'm doing this. This is something that is significant, and I want you to know it's significant. And he put on Caden's heart to change. Right when he came up from prayer, he went back and he changed. I didn't know he was changing the song, and that's an unusual song. We don't hardly ever do that song. How's the last time we did it? I mean, maybe you do it on a Sunday night with the youth, but no. So he pulled something that the Holy Spirit gave him. That's the first time you heard it. Yeah, I know it because I love Will Reagan. I love the music. But I'm telling you, God said, I'm going to shift things a little bit here so you guys really realize I'm serious about this. And you're not all wet, because sometimes I wonder, well, maybe I'm all wet. Maybe I just want to see something happening. And the Lord said, no, you're not wrong. Today, I want to do something. Today, I want to change something in your guys' life. And I don't believe that, you know, this is just, you know, a one Sunday thing. I don't think he wants it to be that anymore. I don't want to be that anymore. Now, remember I said I was going to confess. You're saying, you haven't confessed yet. Okay, I'm going to confess now, okay? This is me. We have, as a denomination, a Thursday morning prayer meeting. It's on Zoom, and it's kind of started during COVID, and I went to it. It was right during the 2020 election, and I went like on a, I think it was like a, like it was 3 or 4 weeks before the president election, and I had been preaching on that you know, we're not setting our, you know, we're not of the government of this world. We're in, you know, and I preached, I think Gay and I preached like for 7 weeks on that we're of the kingdom of God. And I was really getting tired of people all the time just, you know, being just, sorry. I mean, I'm just going to call it like it was. They were just talking like pro-Republican all the time. And it was like we were becoming a Christian, you know, political party. And I'm like, that just did not set right in my spirit. And so I went to the prayer. Just because, you know, it was invited and my schedule opened up. And I went, and it was like, that's all they prayed about. They didn't pray for the other party. They didn't pray for President Biden. And it really hurt my heart and frustrated me. So I didn't go to any more prayers. It's like I was, I don't know. You know how sometimes you vote by going to the bad restaurant by just, not going back? So I kind of did that. And the Lord really, when I was reading through those 10 things, really put on my heart that I have not been sowing into prayer. And so how could I think I was going to get the fruit of prayer? You only get what you sow into. Now, I can show you, I have a prayer list that I've been praying for 2 years. And it's like, Lord, are you not hearing me? Do you not want us to have revival? Do you not want us to have fire? Do you not want us to burn with fresh passion for you? And I'm like, I don't get it. I'm praying. I'm asking. I know this lines up with your will. And it's almost like he said, well, you haven't been sowing into that. And so I can't bless you back in that. It's like, whoa. So I'm going to be at that 9 a.m. Thursday prayer meeting. And it's almost like all I had to do was make the decision. I'm about to teach you something. All I had to do was make the decision. And it's as if I'd already done it. And we're experiencing today because I made that decision. You don't have to even go through with it. Once, just as you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed it. Once I decided that, God said, okay, you've been praying for 2 years. This is 2 years of prayer we're experiencing right now. This is a significant moment. I wish everyone was here, but it doesn't matter because it's happening to them too. You know, when Thomas missed out on being there when Jesus came, he got a special blessing. He got to put his hand in Jesus' side, his finger in Jesus' side. Yeah, he was doubting, but still he got to experience that blessing that those disciples did. I'm telling you, if we stand in the gap, we can see the glory of God like never before. In this place, in this city, in this valley. Yeah, we've been making declarations and we're wondering, okay, why don't we see it? Why don't I have the opportunity to see this blessing? Why am I not seeing the change? It might have been me. I might have been part of the blockage. Just as you were so faithful last night, Gloria, to say, you know what, I think it might be me. And like Herman was saying, who is it here? What is in our mind that's keeping us from moving past it? Moving into what God really wants to do. Something significant. That not just one life will be changed, but many lives will be changed. Maybe one life at a time, one moment at a time, one heart at a time. But they'll be changed. Because if you can change us, and we allow him to change us, he will change those who we stand in the gap for. I guarantee it. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Well, this message is going to wait to get finished, because right now this is today's message. We're to be a house of prayer. So, with that said, I want all of us now to take a few moments. Would you just play just the guitar lightly? And as the Lord searched me this morning, and I made that decision, and the blessing of today took place. What? Oh, yeah, sorry. Thank you. I personally can get moved really easily by the Lord and even a good Charmin commercial. But I'm telling you, there is something significant happening here right now that I can't really contain myself. It was happening last night during our little time of worship. But what I want now, and I don't want you to come make a commitment to me. That's not what I'm after. I want us to take a moment and ask the Lord, how do you want me, if at all, to participate as a house of prayer in the body of Christ? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you as he spoke to me. And if you want prayer for prayer, if you want prayer to move beyond maybe where you've been, because you're just as I was, getting so tired of just the same old, same old. Does anybody ever get tired of the same old, same old? I mean, you know, it's still good to come and be together. And I loved being with you guys. But I really wanted to see something significant happening in all of our lives that is something we could tell others about. You know, people, when they were spending time with Jesus, and, you know, not all of them were healed. Some were just hearing the words of life that he was speaking, the power of God that he had resonant in him because he was God. And they would go tell people about, I don't know who this guy is, but he speaks with power and he speaks with authority. And he's talking about something that I've really never understood or heard before. See, we can be people like that. We can be maybe not world changers, maybe not all Billy Grahams, but we can at least be who God's called us to be for this moment and this time that he's chosen you to live in. You're here, not just in this place today, but you're here living in the Yakima Valley. You're here in the home that you're in the environment you're in, the block that you're in for such a time as this. You're working the job that you're working tomorrow when you go to work. If you don't go to work tomorrow, whenever you go to work or whenever you go to school, you're in that place for such a time as this. There's no better time than right now to hear the voice of the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking. Thank you, Lord.
So yesterday I was reading a testimony about something that happened in a church, and they were having a revival tent meeting. Have any of you ever heard of that, where it was an open air tent and people could come? And this pastor was, you know, very charismatic, and then the evangelist that was preaching their services was very charismatic, and the tent seating was packed. There wasn't hardly any room left. And all of a sudden, coming over the grass were these two young boys. Not real young, like 14-ish. They started walking over, and they stood on the out, just outside the tent, and they're looking, and they're like, they don't see it. They don't see a seat available. And so they're like, you know, let's get out of here. Well, an usher saw them as they turned around and started to leave. And the usher ran after them. And he says, "No, boys, please don't leave. Let me help you find a seat." And so they got somebody to push in so that they could have a seat there. And by the end of the night, both those boys had given their hearts to the Lord and became steadfast, sturdy Christians. And one of the teenagers was Billy Graham. Now, Billy Graham has not saved more than anybody else, but Jesus, through him, has saved more people than any other person alive or gone. But I will tell you who the victor is in this story is not the charismatic preacher, not the eloquent evangelist. Who's that usher? That usher knew that this was a time for those boys, and he did not want to let them miss this opportunity. So in his usher uniform, he ran after them. "No, boys, please don't leave." And he was able to know enough to bring them back in Y'all, we never know what God can do through us. But we all need to be an usher to help usher in others to the kingdom. This house, I'm going to tell you, has been called a house that will make disciples. But we have to get them in the door, or we have to provide the opportunity for them to meet Jesus. And it doesn't have to be an 8-point prayer. This is all it is. Tara, you want to come to the Lord? Oh, let me lead you to the Lord Jesus. This is my dear friend, Tara. And I just pray, God, I'm agreeing with her heart that tonight she's giving it to you, knowing that you made this opportunity available for her. Tara, do you believe in Jesus? Yes, Tara does. Tara, do you want him to come into your heart? Yes, Tara does. Thank you, Jesus, that she is a new creature in you. That's not hard. And she's with Jesus. She's just given her life to Jesus. It doesn't have to be people that go through Bible colleges and theological seminars and all of these things. It just has to be a willing heart. Just has to be a usher that sees two 14-year-old boys that he doesn't want them to miss this opportunity that Jesus has made for them. Let's be ushers today.
Amen. Amen. So, with that said, how does the Lord want you to usher the stewardship of being a house of prayer for all nations? We're going to let just Caden just play here for a few moments. Just listen to the music, but also commune with the Lord. And then I'm going to just invite whoever wants to come up. You can come up right away if you're really sensing it, or you can just wait for the invitation. But hear and respond with purity of heart, with truth, without me wrenching on your arm, because that's not what it's about. The Lord's been revealing himself all morning. Not just to me, to many. I know that right now. And that there's going to be his will done. Go ahead, Kate, just play. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Lord, we just bring our hearts before you right now. We ask you to speak to us. Speak to us, Lord, of how you want us, Lord, to respond to the call of becoming a house of prayer for all nations. Help us with our fears, Lord, of what does that mean? Help us, Lord, with our hesitations about what will I have to give up to become a house of prayer? Help us let the details stay in your hands, Jesus. The how. And help us focus on the why. And that's you, Lord. You gave it all, Lord, so that we could live free and new lives, Lord. And that's why, Lord, we need and you desire for us to be a house of prayer, Lord. Praying not only, Lord, for our valley, Lord, but for our nation and other nations. God, help us. We can't do this on our own. But I know if you've called us, Lord, there's going to be a grace for us to walk in this. There'll be a grace, Lord, to see your hand touch our loved ones and our friends, co-workers, fellow students, neighbors, enemies. Desired it, as you've designed it, as you've predestined it, Lord, let your will be done in our lives. Let your purposes, let your plans that you've established from the foundations of the earth, Lord, let them be established. God, let every individual in this place be transformed. Transformed, Lord, by the touch of your hand of mercy and love, God. Lord, transformed, Lord, with repentance filling our hearts from dead works, from things of the past that brought no fruit, from things that were taking us to a dead end. Repentance, Lord, from sins and actions and motivations, Lord, that didn't align with your kingdom. And Lord, in that place, renew our minds in your truth. Lord, transform us by awakening us, Lord, to the life that's available in the Holy Spirit. Lord, the life that's available in you, your abundant life, Lord, that you've given us, God, to live. Transform us, Lord, that way. Lord, transform us by letting your divine nature and character, God, that you have given us through your precious promises, Lord, that we choose to hide in our hearts, Lord. Let that transformation take place. And let us live in this new life that you've given us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, transform us by showing us your plans for our lives, Lord. Show us, God, how we're to walk and where we're to walk and who we're to talk to and how we're to live. And Lord, shower us with your grace, Lord, to let those plans be fulfilled in our lives. Transform us, Lord, by filling us with the fire of God. Transform us, Lord, by filling us with your fullness, Lord. The fullness that you've already given us, Lord. The fullness, Lord, of God himself. And Lord, let that fullness bring fulfillment and fulfill your will in our lives.
Transform us, Lord, by opening our hearts to the truth of your word. Transform us, Lord, by opening our eyes to see you in all your glory and splendor. And Lord, let that make us an offering of pure praise back to you. Transform us, Lord, by removing every obstacle, every lie, every barrier, every hindrance, every stumbling block, every veil, every scale that's covered our eyes. And replace it, Lord, with the truth of your word. Replace it, Lord, with the realities of heaven that we're to fall in and understand. Transform us, Lord, with your mercies that are new every morning, Lord. Let them bring divine protection for us from the evil one. Let it just allow us, Lord, to live in your divine health, Lord. Let it just let us see the kind of miracles, Lord, that they saw, Lord, in your day that you desire for us to live in, Lord. Lord, let them keep us safe with your strong arm. God, transform us by extracting us and removing us from anything of the ways of the world. Anything that's kept us from your best in our lives, Lord. And anything that's tried to steal, kill, and destroy your will in our lives, Lord. And instead entice us, Lord, to come into your very presence. Entice us, Lord, to come into your throne room before your throne of grace. And transform us, Lord, by giving us a divine hunger for your word. Lord, that we would desire your word more than necessary food. God, that we would desire your word more than anything else in our life. Then our daily bread, God, it will be our spiritual daily bread. Transform us, Lord, by letting all of your heavenly resources be released into our lives, God, to accomplish your destiny for us. Lord, we want to be transformed. We want to be conformed to your image. We want to know you, Lord, from a new perspective. Help us, Lord, to become who you've called us to be. And help us become a house of prayer this year for all nations. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you all. If any of you would like to come up and talk to me about what it means to be a house of prayer, a host home, feel free to do so. If you've been a host home during this time, you say, I want to be a host home again. Well, just come and talk to me or send me a text. Because I'm not going to force anything, but I think God's working. Amen. Love y'all.